I'm going to talk for a short time this morning on a subject, and as I thought about this subject, I think of if you go to Facebook, you know you have your contacts, and you know some people are known for saying different things, and there's one particular guy that often puts on there, he'll put verses, different verses, and he'll put at the top of that, Bruce's Daily Reminder. So when we look at the lesson this morning, I sort of think of it that way as being my reminder. Because what we'll talk about this morning won't be anything new. We've talked about these things before, but when we come to worship, we want to do that in the right way. So as we talk about this, we want to keep that in mind. It's more of a reminder. It's not something that we're addressing that we see as a big problem with the congregation, but it's something that we know we can do better. In Hebrews 10 and verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You know, when new people come into the church, we always encourage them to be here. When we have services, we want to see you here. We want you to be here. We want you to be a part of that. And we don't tell them that so that we can hold them accountable to us. Ultimately, it has nothing to do with us. We want them to learn to observe God, to worship God, and love God to the point that they want to be here. Because God's given us many tools to deal in this world. And the worship service is one of those. And if we come here and we do that in the right manner, we'll be blessed for it. You know, I've talked in the past of all the negative influences that we have in this world and how ungodly this place can be at times. How do we escape that? How do we offset that negativity in our lives? And you'll see that with different people. And it doesn't matter what you're talking about. If they're talking about having a good attitude, they'll talk about the things that you're going to deal with. They'll talk about the people that you'll see. They'll talk about the things that you'll hear. And they encourage you to offset those negative influences with positive ones. You know, there's no other tool greater than assembling together with one another and to praise God and worship Him. And to learn of His Word and how we can become better as Christians and more successful in our service to Him. In Psalms 133, we can read here, a song of degrees of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And as we come together, we do that in unity. We draw strength from one another. And it's our time to escape from the world, isn't it? You know, there's a commercial they used to run a lot. Southwest Airlines, and it had all these different people in all these different situations, and they would make a mistake at work, or they would do something very embarrassing, and then it would stop, and it'd say, "Want to get away." And that's how they marketed their flights. The idea that you could escape that embarrassment, or you could escape that mistake that you'd made, and you could just take a flight and get away from it all. When we think about the worship service, when we think about coming to serve God and to worship Him, too many times we think, we tell people, and we make these statements, if we could just get away from it all, if I could just take a little minute to step back and get away from it, man, that would just make life so much better. You're here this morning. Many of us come every week to these services. We've made the time. We've come through the door. We sit in the service. What kind of time are we giving to God? You see, the hardest part is the making the time, isn't it? We talk about a lot of things. It comes down to giving the time to it. You know, any time that I go somewhere and I see a lot of people that are from different areas of the country, or they may be from different congregations, they always say, "Hey, you need to come see us." "Oh, I would. I just don't have the time." We see that friend that we haven't seen in years and years. They say, "Man, we'd sure like you to come and see us. If I just had the time. I've got all those things that I need to do around the house. Need to paint the trim. I need to clean up the yard. I just don't have the time." You know, we make time for what we want to do, don't we? Did a little work yesterday, but ultimately by the end of the day, I was sitting in front of the TV watching football, wasn't I? Made the time, didn't I? We can do it if we want to do it. But that's what's so interesting about the service. We say we want to take time to escape from the world. I just don't want to think about all of those things that I've been dealing with. And then we come here, and what do? I've got about an hour here. I can try and figure out what I'm going to do about this situation, don't we? We take from God the time that was meant to be given to Him. And what do? We give it to the very thing that is absorbing all of us, don't we? When you think about it in those terms, it becomes a little frustrating because you're giving something that should belong to God to the very thing that you revile, this world. And when we think of it in those terms, it becomes a little easier to think, I've made the time. I don't want to give this time to something I don't want to be a part of. I want to give it to God. If we are to take advantage of this time the way God intended, then it can't become something we do just to check off of our list. We've made the time. Let's be here. Don't just go through the motions when we come here. No matter how many times you sing that song or bow your head or sit through that lesson, make it something that you're giving to God. In Psalms 100 in verse 1, sorry about that, it's a little small. In verse 1, a psalm of praise, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God? It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth all generations. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Nearly wrote a song about that. It's in our hymnal, I believe, this morning. I don't know, we may have sang it here. I know we sang it in Lubbock a lot. It's a good message, isn't it? That we'll worship Him with thanksgiving and gladness in our hearts. And we'll recognize Him as the giver of all of those things. You know, when you look back in the Old Testament, you see time and time again where the worship service was something that was done passionately. You know, these people, they weren't like we are now. They didn't think about vacation time or paid time off or things like that. Many times they worked from sun up to sundown and they worshiped God. That was pretty much their life. We have all of these other things that we do, that we have, that we tend to. You know, they didn't see it as just another task on their daily or weekly list of events. It was something they valued. And when they came to worship, that was their time to worship. You know, we're greatly blessed in this life, especially in the country that we live in. We have so many different blessings to be thankful for. When I think about those blessings, sometimes it comes to mind. You remember the old TV? Some of you may not. If you're very young, you probably don't. But when you had one of those old black and white TVs that ran off of an antenna, and Dad would tell us, go turn the antenna so we can see this, whatever it was. Hated turning that antenna. Go turn the antenna. You know, you'd have nothing but snow on the screen and static. But when you turn that antenna, you'd start to see these images come into focus. And sometimes that picture didn't come in very clear. And we might just watch it anyway because you had the sound and at least you could hear it. And you would vaguely see these images. You know, sometimes that's how our blessings are. We have all these things that are in front of us. And they start to blot out God. The things He's given us to enhance our lives. To make things better for us while we're here. That we can share with others. And they become an obstacle between us and Him. Don't let your blessings be an obstacle. Use them the way He had intended. Sometimes that abundance becomes static between us and Him. We choose to serve Him and know that He is what is important in this life. But the blessings we enjoy can get in the way of that. They didn't let those things get in the way. They had much less than we do, and they didn't have that problem. I'm sure they dealt with their own issues. But unfortunately, those things that were given to us to make our lives better oftentimes get in the way. We should give our best to Him as they made sacrifices in those times. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says there, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise of God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. When they sacrificed, it was from the very best that they had. The very best that they had. Now, when we came here this morning, we probably drove the best car we had. We may have put on the best clothes that we have. We may eat the best meal of the week today. These people gave up those things. And they didn't have cars or anything like that. But you know, that bull or that ram that they sacrificed, that's something that could have been used in their lives. And they gave it the very best that they have. You know, we come here and we praise God and we thank Him for the gifts that we've been given. It says here, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Are we giving of the best? We see an example where sacrifice wasn't as it should have been. In Malachi 1 and verse 7, it says, "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have ye polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto the governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" You know, in verse 1, it tells us right there, we can do this wrong. We can do it incorrectly. Just being here is not enough. Then he continues in verse 8, he said, look at what you're giving. Look at the sacrifice that you're making. Offer that to somebody of high regard in society. Would they accept that? Think of somebody that you honor a lot in your life. Whether it's a president or a dignitary, whatever it is in your mind that you think somebody should be altered or honored. And think about them coming before you. Maybe they're coming to your house for a meal. What are you giving them? If you had given them something comparable to your worship to God, would they accept that? Would you be embarrassed about serving that to them? We have to think about that in these terms. To know that God, being ahead of all, when we say we put Him first in our lives, we have to know we're giving Him and treating Him as first. Is our worship to Him riddled with the cares of this world? When we come here, are we thinking about Him and thinking about the things that He's given us and thinking about His Word and how we're going to live that out? And when we hear a lesson on patience, are we thinking, how am I going to put that into my life? When I've dealt with this situation, I've dealt with it 10 times in the last month, and I'm never very patient about it. How am I going to deal with it differently based on what I've heard this morning? Or if it's about being a better parent, a better spouse, whatever it is, are we looking at it in that way? So that we can improve our lives, so that we can improve our service to Him? Or are we thinking about that hayfield? Are we thinking about that job? Are we thinking about that situation that needs to be taken care of? What are we thinking about? We've already made the time. What are we going to do with it? We constantly pray, Lord, help us to be better as Christians, don't we? I hope we pray that. That's a good thing to pray for. But you know, I've talked about this in the past. What are we working on to be better as Christians? Lord, help me be better as a Christian. But I don't give any thought to what I'm going to do. I don't give any thought to how I'm going to improve. I don't set goals about how I'm going to do that. Think about what we pray for. Take the steps that are necessary to move beyond words. If I said I wanted to be better and more patient in these situations, what am I going to do to be more patient in that situation? I'm going to stop, take a breath, whatever it is for you. Maybe you have to step away from that situation when you're dealing with patience. When you're going to be a better parent, maybe you need to take time. I'm going to take time out and I'm going to spend time with my kids. I'm going to handle these situations in this way. That's going beyond just praying for those things and putting those things into action. If we're not doing that now and we're able to make that change, it'll change your life for the better. To go beyond just sitting through the service and understanding and thinking that was a good lesson, but not taking it any further than that. Because that's the purpose of being here. So that we can hear the different subjects that are taught on from God's Word. And we know what He wants from us in our lives. Now how do I go and do that? In John 4 and verse 23, it says, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Do we put our spirit into it? Now I know we get real nervous when we talk about the spirit moving in us and all these different things that we hear that maybe misconstrue the scriptures. What this is really saying is our heart in it. Are we really fully committed to what we're doing here? We need to be. Our concentration and our focus should be fixed on worshiping Him and not the static of our lives we spoke of earlier. Not the things of this world, but the things of God. In Matthew 15 and verse 8, it says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, we look at that and we think, man, that sounds pretty bad. Doesn't it? But you know, I've been guilty in the past. Maybe I come in here in the worship service and I draweth nigh to Him, just like He says. I show up and I honor Him with my mouth and I honor Him with my lips, but maybe my heart's not there. That's a bad situation. That's something that I need to work on, isn't it? That's something that I need to take away from the worship service and think, I need to do this and better. These are the ways I'm going to deal with that. If our heart is not in it, then we're just going through the motions. God doesn't want lip service. Just like no one wants an insincere apology or thank you. He wants it all from us and He gives us free will to make the decision. We can walk out of these doors today and never come back. That's the truth of the matter. We hate to see that. Many of us have seen others do it in the past. It's a hurtful thing to see that, isn't it? But God gave us free will and we can do that. And when we come into this service, we have free will to do with it what we want. He wants it from us. He wants us to make the decision that will serve Him. Will we give of the best we have, or will our worship be corrupted with the things we carry out in our day-to-day lives? We can't just be here. We've got to be here. You know, children, many times, they have to be interrupted. You have to say, "Now look at me. Listen to what I'm telling you. Put down the iPad, put down the iPhone, whatever it is. And listen to me." I had a coach in high school. He didn't put up with much. And he'd stop and he'd say, "You listen with your eyes." And that meant stop what you're doing and pay attention. You know, we're the same way. Sometimes we have to be interrupted to put away the things of this world and to refocus on those things that are important at the time. You know, in the situation of that child, the child's physically there and can hear, but he's distracted by others. Had a teacher one time in school, she would stop everything and she'd say, "Are you here? Are you with us?" You get called out a couple of times like that in class and you tend to pay a little more attention, don't you? That doesn't happen in the worship service. And in some cases with me, maybe it should. Maybe somebody should say, "Hey, are you with us?" Maybe that would get our attention. I'm not suggesting we do that at all. But you know, I look back to that teacher and I think about the way she dealt with people and the way she did that to shake them and interrupt what we were doing. I learned a lot in that class, didn't I? Because she made sure we were engaged in what was going on. And it's up to us as individuals as we go through the service to do the same thing. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? There again, we turn it around on ourselves. When we sit through that prayer and we bow our head, we're here. We go through the motions. Do we know what we just prayed for? You know, that person's praying on our behalf. Do we know what they just prayed for? Is that what we wanted God to know is going on with us as individuals and as a congregation? We need to be engaged in that. The same applies if we're not mentally engaged in the service. We can go through those motions and not really hit on what it is he wants us to get out of it. How can we consider it praise to God when we sing and pray yet our mind is somewhere else? That's not doing it with understanding, is it? You know, I'm surprised when I start to think about it. A few years ago, I could think about these songs and I could sing them and never really know what I was saying. You could do that. Think about singing on the radio. You can sing songs along with the radio and then you have to really think about what that song was about. That can happen right here in this service. We can sing those songs and sing them over and over and never really know what they're saying. And it's important that we know what we're saying as we sing, because we're singing praise to him and we're making commitments to one another in these songs. You ever thought about that? We are making commitments to God and one another when we sing these songs. You know, if we think about some songs that are pretty prevalent, probably in our services, Give Me the Bible, we've sang that one. Committing to use God's Word as our sole guide in our lives. We sing that song, don't we? Is that what we do? Is that where we turn when we look for guidance in our life? Faith is the victory. Acknowledging that faith in God is the only thing that will help you overcome things in this life. Sing that one, don't we? Or how about blessed be the tie. The tie that binds us as a congregation is to be adored. How about that one? When the roll is called up yonder, committing to live your life in a way you will be numbered among the faithful. These aren't just kiddie songs sung for recreation. They're commitments that we're making. And we've got to understand that. We've got to acknowledge it and we've got to follow through on it. When we sing praises to God, we're committing to them and we've got to follow through. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. What for? To the Lord. Are we giving our best? Are we doing that with full understanding? We need to put thought into these things. Again, making commitments to make God. Again, commitments we make to God and to one another to hold that bond and praise and serve Him. We really must consider these things as we sing and not just sing the words. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, singing to the Lord. We should do it passionately. It's something that should mean something to us when we say that. And when we thank God in these songs and we praise Him for all of these blessings that we have, it should come from the heart, not just going through the motions. When we think of things or events in our lives, people can tell what type of impact that they have or that event had on us, how we express those things. If I tell you how thankful I am for something you've done for me, yet my mind seems to be somewhere else, then you wouldn't consider me to be very sincere about that, would you? You really wouldn't. What if you all threw me a birthday party? And you all show up for this party. Graduation party, shower, doesn't really matter. But you all show up and you say it's for me. And we get there and I'm there and everybody just kind of ignores me. It's not really about me. We said it was. Am I that thankful for that? Probably not. It's not going to mean that much to me because the focus was not on me. Now that sounds kind of selfish, but if we think about it, we're here to serve God. We're here to worship God. We're here to glorify God. But if our minds aren't here and we're not focused on Him, thanking Him for the blessings He's given us, how would that feel to Him? You can imagine how that might feel to Him. That we've come and we've said, this is for you, God. But yet it's not. That time's not been reserved for Him. Colossians 3 and verse 23, skipping down there to verse 23. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We use this verse in a lot of different situations, but it applies here. He makes a distinction that the things we do unto the Lord should carry great importance and sincerity. We all like birthdays, just like we said. But if they had that, if a lot of our friends had this birthday for us, but yet it wasn't at all a birthday for us when we got there, then we're not very honored by that, are we? What about God's time? We talk about these tools and we talk about the worship service being God's time. Do we give Him time out of obligation? Are we just here out of obligation? Or because we value all He has done and continues to do in our lives? You know, that's a fair question when we put it in those terms. Are we here out of obligation or because we want to thank Him? You know, I can think of times in my life when people did things for me or maybe they gave me something. No, you really can't wait to see them next time because you want to thank them for that, don't you? You want to tell them how much you appreciate that and how good it was that they took time out of their lives to do this or whatever it was. We want them to know we appreciate it, don't you? Don't we? And we just can't stand the thought if we don't get to talk to them and let them know that we appreciate that. We don't want that time to pass. We want to make sure they know we appreciate it. And what about God? We need to treat Him the same. To know that the things in our lives and the things we enjoy and the peace that we have is due to Him. And we need to take the time to thank Him for those things. In James 3 and verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. When you have a warning such as this, if all that matters is that you show up to the worship. You know, it says the teachers in the congregation are going to receive the greater condemnation. If all we have to do is show up and nothing else matters, why would they be held to a higher standard if it's not important? We all know it's important. It is important. And we need to stop and think about the things that we're doing. The things that are taught are important. The prayers we pray to God are important, and the songs we sing are important. They should have an impact on our lives and improve our service to God as He intended. You know, sometimes we think, well, we just show up and people talk about all this stuff and it doesn't really make any difference. You know, the responsibility ultimately lies with us. It relies on us. And if we have one of those speakers that maybe it's a little harder for us to listen to, then the responsibility is on us to get something out of that lesson, isn't it? You know, I think of all the different teachers that I hear, and I'll hear somebody say, man, that one right there, they just lay it down every time. Every time I hear them speak, it's something good, it's something I can take from that, and it's just great, and I think, man, I just have to work to get anything out of listening to that person. But I may think of somebody else, and I think, man, they are great. I love to hear them speak. And somebody may say, well, that's a little tough for me. whose responsibility is it? If they're teaching from God's Word, shouldn't I find something in there for myself? I should, shouldn't I? We have a responsibility as an audience to consider the things that are taught. And if we find them to be true, we're obligated to God to live them out in our lives. Take those things that are taught. People find different speakers easier to listen to. I'm the same way. And sometimes it takes more effort on our part in order to get to those things and take something away from it. Those people are different for each of us. It's not the same. I can relate to people more than I can to others. You can relate to other people more than I can. And that's okay. As long as we know the responsibility is ours to take something from that teaching service. So we've talked about singing, praying, and teaching. What about the memorial service? We're going to do that this morning. We're going to gather around the table. We're going to remember Him. We're going to think about our lives. We're going to evaluate ourselves. What about that time? Are we giving that to God? In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27, it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." We think about those things. And what does that tell us once again, right from the beginning? This can be done incorrectly, doesn't it? You eateth and drinketh damnation to yourself because you're not doing it the way that He intended. And if we do it the way He intended, it's a blessing to us. But if not, then it just assumed we didn't do it. We need to do it. We need to remember the gift that He's given us and the blessings that He's given us and evaluate our lives and know, hey, when I fall short on something, I need to think about that situation. And I need to figure out a way that I can change that and do it correctly in my life. Once again, the responsibility is placed on us as individuals, isn't it? To take away from this what He intended. If our focus is on Christ and the sacrifice He made to save each of us, then we can obtain the blessing that was intended by Him. And if we have to take it on a personal level and remember that the sacrifice was made for our specific sins and shortcomings, that was made for us. It was made for every one of us and the shortcomings that we have in our lives. And we need to remember that. And we need to take that personally when we pause during that service. Once again, we're making the time. Let's be there. There He gives us yet another tool to focus our minds on what's important in this life as we pause to do that. We all struggle at times, and at times we question, why is it so difficult to live and deal with things in this life? As we know we should. Why is that so difficult at times? It is. We have ups and downs. We'd like to think that if you were to graph our Christian lives, it would just be a straight up graph. But unfortunately, in most cases, it's not. We have ups and downs. And it looks more like a roller coaster, doesn't it? Up and down and all around. And not just straight up. But we have to adjust and we have to improve. You know, when we're going through those times, ask yourself some questions. What's my prayer life like? If I'm struggling to serve God the way I'm, what's my prayer life like? Do I pray to God? What are we doing to strengthen our faith and grow as Christians? Do we worship as He intended in truth and spirit? Do we focus on Christ's sacrifice during the memorial service and take it with us throughout the week? We have to ask ourselves those questions and not just say, well, it's too hard. World's overtaking me. Nothing I can do about that. We got to start evaluating ourselves. And that's why He gives us this time to evaluate ourselves and remember the sacrifice that was made for those things. You know, we need to show up. We need to be here. And sometimes that's hard. But we need to remember what He's given us to do that. You know, you think about times in weeks, you've had a rough week, the car broke down, the boss was on you at work, you get home and the plumbing doesn't work, can't be fixed till after the weekend, just don't really feel like being there. Just really don't. But then I'm sure we've always been there where we show up and we go and we see Ed and we talk to Ed about pumping wells and we talk to Mac about baling hay or we talked about Ian going up to Washington and we share these experiences with each other and it helps and we overcome that. That's the way it was intended to be. To come here and be together and worship God the way He intended us to do. And if we do it correctly, it'll be a blessing to us. If we do it incorrectly, it'll be just another thing on our list. And it won't help us through this life. It won't make your day better. It won't make your week better. Because what do we get when we come here? Somebody somewhere is going to tell us, have a good week. You know, it seems like such a small thing, but if you're at that time in your life and you're struggling, sometimes something that small can make a huge difference, doesn't it? And it's a good thing. This is all I have prepared this morning. I hope you found it helpful. I say it again. You know, it's a reminder to us all. We all struggle with these things. We all have problems that we have to deal with. And we don't always want to deal with them. But He's given us a tool to come together and give us an outlet to thank Him for those things in the good times and to petition Him in those times of bad. And we need to use it the way He intended, and it'll be a blessing in our lives.